Hey, I'm Laura.
And I'm Kit.
And we work together in the food business.
And we thought, hey, let's start a podcast.
Yeah, to highlight everything fresh, local, and honest.
Yeah, food and business is how we get to experience community together.
So join us for this adventure. Fresh, Local, Honest, the podcast.
The mission of Central California Food Bank is they fight hunger by gathering and distributing food, engaging in partnerships that advance self-sufficiency, and by providing community leadership on issues related to hunger. Here's some stats over the last year. They served 38 million pounds of food in 2019. They do 280,000 people served per month. 97% of the funds went to feeding hungry people. 84% of the food is donated. And 48% of that food is fruits and vegetables. In the last couple months from Corona, they have distributed over 5 million meals.
Wow, guys. You've been obviously busy during this time of really like the pandemic and crisis, right? Because there's kind of like two crises that we're kind of dealing with nationally, I guess, or even globally. But like a sickness and a health pandemic, and then an economic kind of pandemic because millions of people are out of work and not able to find jobs right now. And so hunger obviously is the biggest mission and goal here at the food bank. So can you guys tell us a little bit about how you've navigated the season of COVID-19 and bless the community?
Natalie, I'll talk a little bit about just hunger in general, and then if you'll jump off on the pandemic. Hunger is an everyday disaster for families here in Central California. Pre-COVID, we knew that we were the hungriest area in the entire nation. Wow. We grow all the food. But one in four people and one in three kids struggle with hunger on a daily basis. And it's a real challenge. Families are choosing, do I buy my medicine or do I buy food? Do I pay my rent or utilities or do I buy food? And so they're making really, really hard choices. And so that's what we came into COVID knowing, that people were making really, really tough choices every single day. And then boom, everything changes for even more people.
Well, yeah, and students, a lot of students and children are being fed at school. Mm-hmm. And then those schools are being shut down. And I mean, realistically, like, at least like I'm in Fresno Unified, and so like I know they've opened some schools to be able to give food, but realistically they're not serving as many kids as a normal day is, right?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, you know, Kim kind of provided the statistics pre-COVID or pre-pandemic, but you know, since the pandemic hit, 25% of the clients that we're seeing in our lines are new. They have never accessed an emergency food pantry before. And that tells you just how vulnerable, you know, our community is. We have working class individuals who are living paycheck to paycheck. They're, you know, they're making ends meet, but maybe just barely. And then boom, you have something that happens that's completely outside of their control, and they're thrust into almost like a financial disaster for them. And so, you know, they are trying to scramble to try to figure out, how does the emergency food network work? How do I access services that I've never had to access before, whether that's unemployment, or they're trying to apply for CalFresh, or they're trying to navigate the emergency food network? There's just so much psychological and emotional strain that comes along with the pandemic, with the economic impact of the pandemic, and being hungry, right?
Right.
Being hungry just poses, just adds another layer of distress, right, into an already distressing situation.
Yeah.
So, I mean, how did Central California Food Bank pivot in this, you know, in the COVID-19 situation, in the pandemic? How have you guys responded to what's going on?
Because obviously, like, we've talked to restaurateurs and food producers, so it feels almost like every food industry-ish has had to pivot in some way, shape, or form. So how have you guys met people, I mean, in new ways, and, you know, found those people who really need food?
25% more. How did you get more food?
Totally. We will talk about that. So the first thing that we did is, you know, I want to say that we have an amazing amazing network of partners that we collaborate with on a daily basis to be able to distribute food, right? Mm-hmm. So we have 200 agency partners. Think of these as like faith-based organizations, community organizations that are in the community that have a food pantry that are distributing, you know, daily, weekly, monthly. So because we already have such a strong backbone in our agency partner network, there was already a response ready to go. And what we needed to do in order to pivot to meet the need was take a step back, identify maybe where we had some glaring gaps, and then that's where we were going to focus our resources and our time. So, for example, the pandemic, I think, initially kind of made everybody take a step back and think about their own personal health and safety. Right. And because of that, some of our agency partners or distribution sites decided to close down initially. So that was kind of our first layer or first tier of analysis is what agency partners have decided to discontinue their distributions. We know that there's a need there, and so we're going to fill fill that hole.
Right.
And then there were some, we have really great partners who are unafraid to tell us like, hey, there's a problem here. We're not meeting a specific need in this area. Mm-hmm. And we say, okay, we absorb that information. Mm-hmm. We kind of do the internal gap analysis and we say, these are the resources that we have to bring to bear to fill this specific gap. And we go and we fill it. One of those areas was our rural distributions, specifically with farm workers.
Yeah.
And so we partnered with the California Federation of Farm Workers and UFW, and they're providing distributions to farm working communities all over the Central Valley. One area is
you.
Yeah, it is. And it's a need year round.
Right.
And we hope that once the pandemic subsides, we can sustain these relationships past disaster mode,
right?
Because our farm working community is a vulnerable population.
Yes.
We, you know, the way that we structure our distributions is, you know, we rely on agency partners to help us distribute that food, and we don't dictate dates or times that you distribute. And so because our farm workers are in the field, you know, they're working during the day, they can't access a lot of our traditional distribution sites.
Right.
So we need to be thinking about how we partner with people to make food access more widely available. And that includes times of the day, and that includes, you know, weekends.
Right.
As well. One of the other partnerships, or one of the things that you mentioned earlier was Fresno Unified. You know, my kids are also in Fresno Unified, and they are not serving meals at every school location.
Right. Yeah.
And they've done an amazing job. They have distributed so
Fresno
much
Unified
food with no qualifications. They are literally providing food to everybody that comes up and asks for it.
Mm-hmm.
But there are some school sites that aren't serving food that that maybe parents have barriers like transportation, where they can't get to a school site. So we've been working very closely with Fresno Unified to identify those sites. We started providing a meal box distribution and produce distribution at some of those school sites. And we're also looking to expand that school partnership into our rural school districts. We know that some of them aren't going to be providing summer meals because of either budget restrictions or because of you know, the fear of the pandemic and not being able to have people on site to distribute.
Yes.
And so we're looking to see, you know, what flexibility we have in our calendar and the food resources we have to meet that need. So as people are making us aware and we're having conversations, we're able to respond. I don't know if you want to talk about Neighborhood Industries or Bitwise, because that's a really excellent story as well.
Yeah, so Bitwise Industries is a partner and has a vested interest in Neighborhood Industries, who essentially had to shut down because of COVID, their recycling center, their thrift store. And so they wanted to keep those employees employed.
Oh,
and so on a dime, they pivoted. And they launched a food delivery, which is a gap.
Take care.
And we are really good at large scale mass distribution, but we don't do home deliveries.
Right.
Yeah.
That's very
Those
hard.
Are different things.
And it's a different distribution model. And so it has been a great collaboration. Initially, they were utilizing some of their budgeting to purchase some food from us. And then we had a conversation. We said, how can we continue this further into the future?
Right.
Can we provide 100% of the food and you keep employing those drivers to get those home deliveries going? And so they have done that. But because it's Bitwise and they have the technological expertise, they helped build us a platform to register grocery pickup.
Yeah, like scheduling, like a scheduling app for on-site pickup at our site.
That is so wonderful.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's like the really two great worlds, like technology and food distribution coming together.
We love technology. We want to be in the 21st century, right? When it comes to like how we solve problems, and technological partners are definitely a part of that.
Yeah, and we are really good at food, but we don't have the technological expertise. Yeah. And so it kind of came together. We had the funding. Donors are, the community is very interested in getting people the food that they need. And this is one of the ways. And that also helps break down some of those barriers, both on timing and access. It's very time consuming to be poor. Mm. You've got to stand in this line to do this. You've got to fill out these million paperwork. Yeah. And so while we can get families, 200, 300 families through a food line in an hour, because it's first come, first serve, they show up well before the distribution start time. Yeah. With a grocery pickup and it's scheduled, we control the number of people who come, they show up, they can book their appointment, they call us, we come out, and they're in and out of our parking lot in less than 10 minutes.
It's like an honoring thing for them as well.
It is.
That you're honoring their time, mm-hmm. and, you know, and that you guys, obviously it helps you manage this crowd, right?
Yeah. And it addresses some real barriers that, you know, maybe some individuals have to accessing the emergency food network. It feels more dignified almost in a way, closer to maybe what, you know, you and I experience when I go to Target and I get, you know, my drive up.
Right.
Yeah, my drive up pickup, right? So we're waging kind of multiple battles. One is hunger, and two is the stigma associated with hunger and how we get people who need services to access those services in a way that they feel comfortable with.
It's like valuing humanity, valuing who they are.
Yeah.
And creating opportunity for them to.
I love in your mission that you guys want to advance self-sufficiency. So can you kind of talk a little bit about that? Because I think like when, you know, there's like the stigma of like getting a handout, and then it's like, oh, people just keep coming back, and like, or a donor level's like, oh, how are you teaching people to kind of continue on and, you know, obviously move on from assistance to, you know, their, you know, whatever they're doing next.
So. How are you teaching them to fish?
Yeah, like the self-sufficiency.
Yeah. You know? The age-old problem,
I think it's life, right? Like, obviously, like, you're raising kids, I'm raising kids, you know, and you're trying to continue to teach them independence and giving them little, you know. So how do you do that on a large scale in your food company? So
that's probably one of the areas where we are going to invest more time and attention. One of the ways that we try to advance self-sufficiency is we want people to understand that the Emergency Food Network is not the only service that's available. There are other resources, state and federal resources available that can help get you on track. And so outside of distributing food, one of the internal programs that we run is enrolling individuals in CalFresh. So, you know, the federal government allots a certain amount of money, you know, to the state of California, and we want to make sure that that money available through the appropriation process is utilized, because when somebody enrolls in CalFresh, there's an economic impact that is generated here in the Central Valley. You're using funds, you're going to this local grocery store, and you're employing this person. So CalFresh is one part. It's kind of our foundation or our building block for how we try to address self-sufficiency. We want to let people know about the resources that are available to them, move them out of the food line if they're eligible for those resources. And that's kind of a first step. The next step is also how we partner with other individuals that do economic development work, right? Because we are not a we are not, and at least right now, we are not like an economic like development or like a job development agency. And so for us, it's, you know, we collect client demographic information. We want to know if you're employed, underemployed, you know, gainfully employed. That helps us kind of knowing our clients and knowing what their needs are, helps us figure out how we partner with those other entities to bring those additional resources to bear that are not in our wheelhouse.
Right.
You know, we understand that we cannot be everything to everybody, and we really need to leverage our partnerships to make sure that there's a more like comprehensive approach to how we move people.
Well,
out
I
of
love
the line.
That you're like equipping like maybe a faith-based organization or a community organization doesn't have the food resources you guys have, but you're allowing them this like gift of, okay, here's food. And so you're almost equipping them to like build those partnerships, like get to know those, you know, people who come in and see where they're at, see where their like individual communities can kind of lift it, everybody up. And so that seems like a really, you know, worthy model of things happening.
And internally in our warehouse, we work with transition homes that we have people who come and help pick orders and help us in the warehouse. And so there is an element of job training. It's just not super formalized. And really, we get the biggest bang for our buck when we collaborate with those that is their mission and what they're intended to do. But people... Food draws people, and so they are coming to us because we have food, and it's then helping connect them, being the convener to those other relationships.
And our agency network, and this isn't just something that like happens at the food bank network, our agency network really realizes the value. And outside of food, a lot of our partners run other programs, right? And so, like Kim said, you know, food is the connector, right? It's the anchor that like brings people to the site. But once they get in the door, that our agency network and those partners that run the food pantry are really great at saying like, And they get to know that person, right? Like, oh my gosh, like you've been here a couple of times. Like, what can we do to like, what additional support do you need? And so they're making those those connections, at that level, while we're focusing on a broader, larger, maybe collaborative model.
That's great.
Yeah, that's awesome.
Well, I love this conversation, and I love that you guys just got appointed CEOs, right? Co-CEOs of the Central California Food Bank. I love it. They're giving each other a air five right now. I wish you guys could see it. But can you guys talk about this? And like, so how long have you been working at the food bank? I don't know. Kim, do you want to start and kind of share your like story and then how this kind of collaboration ended up happening?
Yeah, sure. So I'm actually the new kid on the block. Next month, I will have been at the food bank for 8 years.
New kid on the block.
And yes, that makes me the new one.
I started at the food bank in my infancy. Okay. I was
That's what that means.
A child.
Right.
Yes. So I'll have been here 8 years. I was hired on as the director of development. And so really focused on fundraising and connecting the community and donors' hearts to our mission. We can all identify with struggle, and it might not look like hunger,
right?
But things don't always go exactly how we planned. And
i.e. the last 2 months of life.
They don't go as we planned. Yeah. And we know that in our communities, when we have networks, some of us don't fall quite as hard and as fast because we have other built-in support systems. And so we are really there to help people who need that assistance and don't have the support network kind of internally themselves. And so, I feel like I've grown up, even though it's been 8 years. This has actually been kind of a long time coming. So 4 years ago, Natalie and I were both appointed. I was appointed as chief administrative officer and her as COO, chief operational officer, as a succession plan should a transition, a succession ever be needed.
Right.
And then 18 months ago, almost 2 years ago, when we moved into our new facility, we started to really take on more of the day-to-day internal operation leadership, and our CEO was primarily externally facing. Mm-hmm. And he got an amazing opportunity, lifestyle change, to be closer to grandkids and really be a part of their life. And so while it was a 4-year process, it went really fast at the end, and we're really humbled and grateful for the opportunity and excited to take the food bank to the next level, because we have a strong foundation and we have an amazing staff who's equally as passionate about ending hunger. And I don't think either one of us get here without growing up with a passion for our city and what it means to give back. My mom was a nurse and my dad was a firefighter. I grew up in a family of service. I thought I was going to be a teacher. I thought my husband was going to be a preacher. And God had other plans. And here we are.
I love it.
But really, the cries of our city, just it just weighs on my heart. But I get to wake up every day and work with an amazing team and amazing agency partners who are equally as committed to seeing that no one in our community goes to bed hungry. And yeah, it's really exciting. And we are very different in personality and our unique skill sets. And I think that's one of the things that makes this so cool. So I oversee the fundraising, human resources, and finances. And I'll let her talk more about her side.
Everything else.
But we're uniquely qualified, and we bring those skill sets together.
I think that, you know, one of the things that's just so, that I love is that the food bank and our board of directors had this progressive mindset to say, we have two uniquely qualified individuals. Why not leverage both of their strengths so that the food bank can be better positioned to meet the need of the community, as Kim was describing before, right?
Yeah. So that's a wonderful model. So tell us a little bit about your journey at the food bank, since you've been working there since infancy, you said.
Oh yeah, infancy. So I just celebrated my 12th year.
Wow.
At Central California Food Bank in April. And I do feel like I grew up at the food bank. I was in the Bay Area. I was working in a clinical environment because my degree is in nutrition and dietetics. And the clinical environment was not for me. I saw hunger and chronic disease, and I really wanted to be more proactive. I wanted to be on the side of solving those issues before they got to the point where clinical intervention was needed. And so living in the Bay Area with my husband, and we're from Fresno and he's from Clovis.
Okay.
We wanted to eventually start a family or be able to afford a home, right? And that was like not gonna happen. In Palo Alto, where we were at the time. And we moved back, and there was a job opening as a nutrition education coordinator at the food bank. And so that's where I started. My original role at the food bank was in nutrition education. And I absolutely loved it because it provided the opportunity to connect with the community. We were providing nutrition education classes to children and families, and also providing food, right? So that they could take that information and that knowledge, and they could go home and they would have something, available to them and something that they could act on. And over the years, I have transitioned through multiple roles. So after nutrition education, I became the program supervisor and then director of programs. And then in 2016, my more recent role as COO. I want to say that, I want to thank our prior CEO, because he had the vision and forethought to say, these two women are uniquely qualified. They could be the future of the food bank. And he really pushed, this succession plan with the board. And we may not have been provided, you know, this opportunity to take this next step as co-CEOs, if that thought or idea was, you know, never occurred, right?
Yeah.
And so, you know, really thankful that you know, he and the board saw something that they knew could be like cultivated and groomed, so that when the time came, the food bank had leaders that could just step into the role and hit the ground running, right? Because we were already doing it.
So. Well, yeah, I think it like is it. It's a progressive. Like it's obviously not traditional, but like why isn't it? Because it just seems like you get a little, I mean, bang for your buck, you know? Like, I don't know. I mean, yeah. It just seems like, you know, there's like obviously like different leadership styles. And so you can like probably just reach a whole lot more people and even employees just with having a team approach to it. And so I think it's a really progressive and wonderful way that they kind of brought you in.
It's a yin and a yang. Although Kim says we are different, but we are similar and a lot different in the ways that are important and helps us leverage those like different skill sets and like leadership styles, but also similar in that we have a really great working relationship and friendship, which I think, you know, helps kind of like sweeten the pot a little bit, right?
So obviously like conflict does happen at work. You guys probably don't always see eye to eye. So how have you guys dealt with that? Have you had to navigate that? Or do you usually just see eye to eye and everything's completely simpatico or whatever?
So we see eye to eye on big picture items.
Yeah.
Our goal.
That's refreshing.
Our vision is a hunger-free Central California. Yeah. And we are 100% bought in and committed to that.
Everything we do draws back to that focus.
Mm. Yeah. And are we doing best by the client to make sure that more people have access to high quality nutrition? And how we get there is where we don't always disagree.
Different vehicles,
we see the world very differently. Nutrition and business, different political affiliations, different, you know, I think one of the things that's cool that makes us different and similar is our husbands are also passionate about food. Nat, you want to talk about James?
Yeah, I mean, So in talking with like the disagreements, there are I know, I will totally talk about James because I will plug Benediction any day of the week if you give me a platform. Yeah, so my husband and I own Benediction.
Benediction is so good.
Thank you. Yes. Like, So when Kim talks about, you know, something that's unique about us and also different is kind of the investment that we have in our city. You know, obviously Kim and Matt, you know, being two leaders running, you know, large community-based organizations and nonprofits. My husband is invested in the community in a different way, right?
Yeah.
Through business.
I love
and
that.
He cares, you know, passionately and deeply about like social and like local issues. And he is also a little bit of like a rebel and maybe at some point had a problem with authority. And so he wanted to go out on his own, right? Like, you know, do his own thing. But that's how like he brings like joy and connection is like he has like he understands food connects people. I think we all understand that that food is connection.
Absolutely.
And so we do it, you know, in one way where we're serving, you know, kind of a, you know, an at-risk or vulnerable population, and he connects people through food for his passion for food and cooking, right?
I love it. I mean, that place, we actually, like, before the pandemic hit, I tried to take one of my kids to breakfast. And so Benediction was one of, and the music and the food, obviously.
That's him. You get like, if you don't know my husband, you just walking into this place, that's him. Like every single detail, garage band, like restaurant, you know, from like the 90s is like totally like James, right? Like that is his personality. Thank you. Thank you so much. Yeah.
So, I mean, we've heard a little bit like of before. We've gone through this corona. Corona has caused you guys to even change a little bit of how you're doing operations. You guys just step in as CEOs. What does the future look like?
bright. Can I just like summarize in like one word? What does the future look like? Wow, there are, I think, endless possibilities, which is really amazing for us. Our primary goal is we are working to close the meal gap for the Central Valley, as Kim mentioned, for us to be geographically located in an area that produces the nation's, if not, you know, the world's food.
Yeah.
It is just so devastating that our neighbors, kids, families, parents are going to sleep hungry. And while we continue to grow over the last couple of years in terms of the amount of food that we distribute, it just hasn't been enough. We're probably meeting about 60% of the need kind of collectively in our area.
Okay.
And so everything that we're gonna do moving forward is focusing on how does everybody have equitable access to the food that they need to sustain a healthy lifestyle. Yeah. And that means that and for us, I think one of the things that we agree on probably most is that everything boils down to relationships. And so for us, our focus is gonna be hyper-relational. How do we bring the right partners and collaborators to the table? We know that we can't do this on our own. We are stronger together, we're better together. We don't wanna silo ourselves and we don't wanna seclude ourselves. We have to bring more people to the table that are in alignment with what our goals are. That happens through relationships on the community-based organization side, on the donor side, on our agricultural partner side. We haven't even talked about them. We have amazing partners and agricultural relationships that we leverage that benefit our community, right? Because they have access to a wide variety of crops and commodities that are grown right here. And so for us, again, the focus is closing the meal gap, being more innovative with our programming, meeting our clients where they are, listening to them, and listening to our partners to say, you know, where are we doing really amazing work and where are we falling short? Sometimes we get, you've been doing something for so long that you just start looking at things through a keyhole, right? And so like how you like broaden your perspective, we need those voices, you know, and those partners to come to us and say like there are different and better ways that we could be doing things.
Right.
So for us, everything is focused on moving to close the meal gap, making sure everybody has access to food in the ways and form and function that like meets their needs. And then how do we just bring more people into the fold to accomplish that?
And I think it'd be good to take a moment to highlight, I know you talked about it a little bit, Kim, but highlight kind of what's going on with Fresno in that, because I think, you know, I was raised in northern Fresno, northern Clovis, and the idea that people can't get food is a little bit of a foreign idea, you know, was a little bit of a foreign idea for me. Luckily, Artie Padilla came in and talked a little bit about that, and he's amazing what he's doing in the community. But could you talk about that a little bit? Like, it's people are going hungry in Fresno. And that's, I remember that hitting me and thinking, you know, and Artie even came in and said, there's certain parts of Fresno that they can't compare to anywhere else in the U.S. They have to compare it to third world countries, because that many people are going hungry or having the hard of time getting a meal.
Yeah, and it's true. Every single neighborhood, there is someone on your street who doesn't have enough to eat. Whether they're a senior or they've recently gone through a divorce or they've had a medical emergency, with almost 100% certainty, there's someone like in your neighborhood, regardless of what neighborhood in this town you live in, that is going hungry, is making really tough choices. And so it's that awareness, it's a hidden epidemic. And it's easy for many people who don't know someone personally, or it just hasn't been shared with them, to ignore the problem or think that that's something that only happens on that side of town and not on this side of town. One of the things is looking at free and reduced meal rates. How many kids at your local elementary school are on free and reduced meals?
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot.
Yeah.
And that's all income qualified. to receive those services. And so they live on your street. They play on your kid's little league team. Mm-hmm. They serve with you at church. People are hungry kind of all over the place. And so part of our job in tying back to our mission statement on, you know, being leaders on issues related to hunger is driving that awareness.
Right.
And letting people know and like connecting to them that. And people don't want to share.
Right. Their stories.
Their stories and their struggles. And so, yeah, it's that just that keen awareness.
Yeah, I've actually got a story connected to that. Anaheim Vineyard Church, it's not in Fresno, it's down in Anaheim, down in L.A. They were sharing that they had so many kids in schools that had maxed out their allotted credit because the parents couldn't pay, and then they ended up behind, and then they couldn't get any more meals, and then the kids were going hungry that day because they couldn't pay for it, but then the parents were so far behind on that debt to try to pay it off that they were having a hard time even getting it paid off. And so kids were missing meals. And they gathered as a church and said, this can't happen anymore. And so they pulled all their money together and actually paid off a ton of the credits to try to get them back to square one, so that way the parents can, you know, then get them on the right track. But I remember just hearing that story and just thinking, oh my gosh, I wonder how often this is happening in our schools. And you know, I don't know about it. My kids aren't quite there yet in school, so.
Yeah, well, and that's, you know, one of our focuses that we haven't talked about, you know, quite yet is, like, policy and advocacy work as it relates to, you know, hunger issues. And being in Fresno Unified, we enjoy what's called categorical eligibility, where everybody who's enrolled gets access to a free meal. And that happened through child nutrition reauthorization, right? And categorical eligibility is something that we should be working towards, you know, in every school district in the nation. A child shouldn't have to worry about when they go to school that they don't have enough credits, you know, on their card to be able to eat breakfast or lunch. The parents shouldn't have to worry about whether or not you know, they're sending their kid to school and they have the ability to learn or focus because they don't have enough food at home, and then they don't have enough food to you know, or they aren't eligible at school to be able to receive a meal. You know, we talk about, you know, wanting to make investments, and education is one of the best ways that we can make an investment, you know, in our child's life, but it doesn't happen without food. Food is a basic need. You're never going to get productive humans out of the education system, right, if they are not well fed and well nourished and like ready to learn, right? So this is this ties back to a broader, you know, kind of economic issue about our children being ready to get into the, you know, working world and be gainfully employed. So many things tie back to food and food being a basic need.
So how, you know, let's say, what advice would you have for someone that is interested in getting involved in their community, interested in getting involved in helping out, you know, Central California Food Bank, or, you know, even just getting involved in nonprofits?
I'm going to kick it over to you.
Awesome. Well, if you want to partner with us, our website has a plethora of information, ccfoodbank.org. You can sign up to volunteer or to donate or to learn more. We do work on advocacy, as Natalie mentioned. We put out calls to action, so following us on social media, figuring out what's going on. We're very active, and we kind of let you know what's happening, what policies are coming down the road. Everyone can make a difference.
Find your passion
and plug in, whether that's with us or one of our amazing partner agencies, or someone else who's giving back in this community. We really have embraced the better together mentality and an abundance mentality. I think for so long, we've thought of things in very scarcity mindsets.
Right.
We're all competing.
Finite pool.
Of volunteers and of donors, and that's not true.
Right.
We just have to unlock the possibilities of working together. And because it's all here. We have the resources here to feed our community. We grow it. We have it. We have an amazing educational system. We have a university who's training future leaders. There's just so much to leverage if we look at it as a way to leverage and, as abundance. And so, volunteer opportunities. If you want to sort through food and pack meal boxes, you can do that. If you have an accounting skill set, I mean, we have skill-based volunteers, so accounting, receptionist, lots of programs, data entry programs, and so really the gamut is huge. We do family events, so families can come with kids, five and up.
Pre-COVID.
Pre-COVID. But we're going to get back.
It'll come back.
We are going to get back.
It might be a little ways away, but it'll come back.
Where families can come and package food with their families and teaching that
and
giving back.
To teach your kids what it means and to give back. Because I know, like, even with my kids, they can get super picky about food and so that education and like that teaching by example, I think is so important to let them know, like, hey, your friend at school who maybe steals half your lunch is hungry, you know?
And, we get a lot of younger volunteers, whether it's through community service, you know, type work, local junior highs are, you know, are constantly in, and it's a fun environment to be around, right? When they're in the distribution center, you know, bagging produce or making mailboxes or bagging backpacks, you know, for our school sites that that we deliver backpacks to for the weekend. So yeah, there's a value in them learning that this is an issue. I don't think I realized that food security was an issue until I moved back. Right? Like, you just don't know. Right. And so instilling in them early, right, that knowledge that you know, maybe we come from a place of privilege. We don't, you know, know other people's, you know, lived experiences or there is just hunger, right, in the Central Valley, I think is so important.
Yeah, giving, I think the best thing you can do is give your kids eyes to see other people.
That's good.
So true.
Yeah.
And everyone has unique gifts and talents, and we can all help someone in some way.
Yeah.
Again, if we can leverage what we have to help others.
Yeah, so good. Well, and as you said, the future is bright. You know, Central California Food Bank, like, this is so exciting. The transition you guys are going through, the way you've been able to respond in Corona, and being able to look in the future and say, hey, we're going to be able to provide more meals, but also for Fresno, in eliminating hunger.
And I love how you guys have like highlighted rural areas and done new things. Like, I mean, basically every business has been pivoting and you guys like took this as an opportunity to like serve the community and kind of, I don't want to say like level up because it is obviously.
You can say level
up. But like level up like your service, obviously, for the community. And I mean, I mean, who knows where we'll be in the next few months, but there's food and it's available. And I do love, and I'm going to share, I like love that app action, like sharing your community food bank and like picking up groceries. And I mean, even obviously I don't think like, oh, a ton of my circle of people would need it, but you guys have kind of highlighted that in my eyes, like, wow, probably people do need it. And so if we can just kind of take the stigma away and like share those things with each other, I think this world will, you know, Fresno Central Valley will be a better place.
And, I think so.
That's less hungry.
That's amazing. So we always finish with an honest question, because Fresh Local Honest. And our honest question is, what is something unique about you that most people don't know?
Oh my gosh, put me on the spot.
You don't like Red Vine's licorice. You like Black Vine's.
Who is that person?
That one person.
I learned that Kim has five kids.
Yeah,
so
that's true.
That feels busy and crazy.
And twins?
Twins? So.
Are your last two twins?
Oh, no, three and four are
right
twins.
Right in the middle.
So, yeah, that's one thing that many people don't know. So now co-leading with Natalie and then also managing quite a crew at home with five children. And I think this appointment and it being co and us bringing our unique talents to bear and being progressive, being a working mom, being able to share it is going to help us at least for me, excel at both without having to give that up. I think so many times, especially women who take on more of the caregiving responsibilities, have to give up career or give up advancement because of the calls of family. And this gives me the opportunity to not have to do that. Yeah. And I don't know that I would be the perfect leader to lead us into the future if I had to do it alone. Yeah. But with Natalie, I can.
Yeah.
And, and we can. And so
I'm feeling so, much love.
I love that.
Ditto. Ditto. Can I just say ditto to that?
I know. I love that. Anything unique you want to share about yourself, Natalie?
Something that is unknown about me. I think that most people think that I am an extrovert. I'm very like boisterous and like opinionated and loud, but like at my core, I am probably like very introverted.
Wow.
Yes.
Like, so have you I mean, clearly one time of shelter in place? And
you know, it has not bothered me. Okay. So with the caveat of, as Kim mentioned, you know, we have families, we're working moms. I just want to give like a shout out to like the moms that are home, like all day, like with their like kiddos and teachers. My kids are my light and joy, and I am pulling my hair out trying to work from home and still teach them. And so while my like hidden, you know, introverted self has loved working from home, I feel like super productive. Having my older daughter is like totally like self-sufficient. My son who's a first grader, it's like every 10 minutes, right? Like, mom, I need this. I'm like, I'm on a Zoom call. Like all the Zoom people, I see him in the background. Shout out to all you moms that are home 24/7. I don't know how you do it. I don't know how you do it.
Fun and crazy and amazing and frustrating and all the emotional experience learning how to like I work from the office but working from home a few days and my baby's waving to hi everybody on the Zoom call.
Luckily everybody's like super understanding because it's happening to them too, right? Like if you have kids at home, but it's just been a trip for sure.
That's amazing. That's so cool. Well, definitely follow them on social media, Central California Food Bank, and Instagram, you guys, and website. Check it all out.
And if you've been moved, definitely get involved. Yeah. You know, whether it be There's just connect with your neighbors and get involved in your neighborhoods or actually join the Central California Food Bank and volunteer.
We need you, Fresno. Everyone, caring about your neighbors and community. Kind of nothing changes if we kind of continuing on. And so I feel like this has definitely like inspired me to like, you know, take that next step in like thinking about how I can involve my children in, you know, different things in the community. And so thanks for spending this time with us.
Thank you for having us. It was amazing.
This was fun.
Yeah.